We're looking through the book of Matthew, and we are in the 13th chapter. And we have come to the 24th verse of the chapter. And we are going to read through the 24th through the 30th, and we're going to skip. We're going to skip to the 34th, and then we're going to come back to the 31st. The reason we're going to skip is because the Lord gave us the interpretation of this particular parable that is stated here. So why should we repeat what he stated twice? Well, Matthew 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them. Another parable put he forth unto them. Meaning that there was one previous, and we know that one. That's the parable of the sower. It says here, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now, this parable is going to be strange for a reason. Because it says the kingdom of heaven. And what he is going to state in the parable is rather interesting. He says the kingdom of God, or rather the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. He didn't stay. The kingdom of heaven. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, this not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up, meaning the tares? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. He's going to make a comment on that. But let's look at some things first. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. We know what that good seed is. He's going to tell us what that good seed is. He tells us that the good seed, in this case, are the children of the kingdom. He tells us about the seed in the parable of the sower, that the seed is the word of God. Now, if the seed is the word of God, watch this, and the seed is the children of the kingdom, then the seed, which is the word of God, is synonymous to the children of the kingdom. So the children of the kingdom are also the word. Consider that. Now, that is not a strange statement, because this is what we've got to come to understand. Like we were talking about last week, we think little about ourselves. We don't know where God has placed us. and the creative power. Notice that the first thing that God made man do was to name things, and whatever the man called it, that was the name of it. First act. That has not changed. That has not changed. Let me say it a third time. That has not changed. The children of the kingdom are exactly also the kingdom or the word of God. Jesus, everything, God created us in the image and the likeness of God. Jesus came to manifest who God is. And he manifested who God is as Father. That's the name he came to show to us. But he, the Father, is a Father of light. And the Word of God is light. Make sense? So, God wants us to see that we, as the children of the kingdom, are the children of the Word and the children of light. See that? Okay. So, but while men slept, now something we talked about last week was that we've got to understand that we are not ordinary men. We are light beings. We are not, when we get born again, we are not part, so to speak, of the human race. We are part of the light race, if I can put it that way. Now, we live in human physical bodies, but there's something different about us on the inside. Amen? We are more aware of this than that which is inside of us. That which is inside of us does not sleep. Because it is like God. This body sleeps. So when your body sleeps, when you live in the natural, you sleep, you become less conscious of what is in your surrounding. And during that time, the Bible says, the enemy came, the Lord tells us, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And did what? Went his way. So, in essence, nobody saw it. While they were asleep, the enemy came, did his thing, went away. And nobody was aware of it. But his presence was manifested by the growth that took place in the midst. So, we don't know who did what or when they did what, but we can see there's something in here that is not the truth, that is not the word. And the enemy plants his seed when we become mindless in terms of not being conscious. When we are asleep, the word of God says, awake, you that sleep. Wake up. Stay awake. One of the things I think that the Lord may be saying to us in this parable, while he's telling us what happened, and notice he didn't say the kingdom of this world, he said the kingdom of heaven. And that's what should capture our attention, because this should not happen. Not in the kingdom of heaven. This should not happen. This is something that is abnormal. It doesn't have a right here. But it happened. Why? Because it was the will of God? No. Because the watchers We're not watching. A lack of focus. So let's skip. And look at verse 37. Because the disciples are asking him, and he's talking to them about this. They said unto 36, declare unto us a parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The Son of Man soweth the good seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. And there's nothing going to be wrong with the seed. It is incorruptible. The field is the world. The field is what? The world. Wait a minute. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. The field is the world in his field. In his field. In his field. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In his field. This field is the world, and the world belongs to God. But we know also that the devil is called the god of this world. So what is the difference? Is it the kingdom of God, or is it the kingdom of the devil? It is and continues to be the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God and the world belonging to God, as long as we are focused. Because if we focus, we will see the enemy. But when we go to sleep and we can't see the enemy, it becomes the kingdom of the devil. That makes sense? So, the Lord is telling us something. Choose to sleep and not take a hold of my word and recognize who you are, and the devil will come to play. That's all he's saying to us. Be awake and be present. Move in the dimension of my spirit, and the devil will not be able to come to play and plant his seeds and walk away and cause you to be in confusion and, you know, angry with each other, fighting with each other, and acting like mere men. It's a lot being told to us. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven? Yes, when we recognize that we are seated with him in heavenly places and that we are far above all principalities and powers. When we recognize who we are operating in the kingdom of heaven. When we cease to operate where we're supposed to be, then we become subject to the kingdom of the world that is run through by the devil. Does that make sense? Okay. Then it says, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Whoa. The tares are the children of the wicked one. Tares are the children of the wicked one. So the children of the wicked one are sown after. Do you get that? The son sowed the good seed, and while men slept, the wicked one came and sowed his seed. which were tares. So the sons and the children of the kingdom are sown first. Then the enemy comes and brings his imitation, his forgery, his fakeness. That's why we need to be very careful about new things. Because not everything that is new is born of God. Oh, this just came now. This must be better. Just came does not mean better. New revelation does not necessarily mean the truth. That makes sense? Okay. The Lord is warning us. He says the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the Bible tells us about doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils that will come in the last days that have nothing to do with the truth. The harvest is the end of the world. And it's telling us exactly when the timing of this particular setting. And then he says, and the reapers are the angels. The reapers are the angels. Now this is very supernatural. Because until now, what we do know is that God calls us to be active participants in the harvesting of souls. But the word of God comes here and says, there comes a time when the reapers are the angels. They do the separation because men, when we try to weed, we pluck up the good and the bad at the same time. You know, you're trying to deal with one issue, and by the time you finish dealing with that issue, 6-7 other people have been affected that should not have been affected. Because you're trying to solve one problem. Trying to deal with one issue. And now it's spread. And then try another one and it spreads. And God says, you know, there comes a time when you need to back off. Because you don't know the details. Just let everything alone. Leave it alone. But Lord, there are tares. I can see the tares. Yes, I know you can see them. But by the time you try uprooting this one, you're going to affect that person and that person and that person over there and that person over there. You're going to mess up a lot of stuff. Let everybody come to maturity. Just preach the word. Stay consistent with the word. Water the people. Let the increase take place. But leave the selection to me. I'm going to do a supernatural selection. I know you know what the tares are, and I know that you know what the weight is, but leave them both. Now, this is a difficult place for us because we want to jump into it and solve all kinds of problems right now. The only thing God calls us to do is to be fervent in proclaiming the truth and being steadfast about the character of the Lord. Preach the gospel of love and let the chips fall where they may. It's not a time to extricate people and banish people. You're a sinner. Get out of here. You don't belong in this church. No. God says, leave it alone. There was a time when people were allowed to deal with particular issues, but as we come towards the end of the age, God is saying, it's too complex for you. It's too complex. Leave it alone. I'm going to dispatch angels, and they are going to deal with particular aspects. Because it's easy for me to try to determine which church is good and which church is bad, which preacher is good and which preacher is bad. You know, and it's more complex than that. Because I tell you what, I listen to a preacher and I see what he's preaching is totally wrong, and the next day I listen to him and said, everything he just preached now is truth. He just preached absolute truth right there. And the next day, he's preaching something. What? How did you say this yesterday and now you're saying this? God says, leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Now, let me tell you, it's hard. Because sometimes, if I had the opportunity to dig my hand through the television and drag the person out, stop killing the people. That's a lie, and you know it. But you can't do that. He says, the enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Tares, meaning the children of the wicked one, are going to be harvested. The Son of Man, verse 41 says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. The Son of Man shall do what? Send forth his angels. So this is not going to just be you and I preaching the gospel now. At the end, there's going to be an angelic assistance. And if there's a time I believe that we need angelic assistance, I believe we are in that time and that season. Because the world is getting crazier and crazier by the moment. And it's not just happening out there in the world, it's happening even in church. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Everything that offends, and those that do iniquity. Those things that offend God, and those that practice iniquity, they will harvest out. First agenda. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then, I like this. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. As the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who had ears to hear, let him hear. They shall shine forth as the sun. They shall shine forth as the sun. This is the first time that the Word of God has really addressed the children as sun. Normally, the word like stars are used, like Joseph, seeing his brothers and all of that as stars. Now, he did address his father and his mother as sun and moon, but that sun and moon bowed down to the star. Yeah? Now, other than that, generally, stars are what have been used to symbolize people in the kingdom. But first time the Lord says, the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What is the difference? The children of the wicked are no longer there. So the children of the wicked dumb down the intensity of their glory. Interesting. Well, praise the Lord for grace. Now, let's now skip back and hopefully we can forge forward after that. Verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. He's told us what that field is. The field is the world. And we've defined the world by two terms. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, as unto God. The heavens, even the heavens belong unto the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of man. That's one. The other one is that the god of this world, which is the devil, meaning that which was handed over by Adam over to Satan in the temptation, when he refused to accept what God said about him, yeah, caused the devil to be the god of this world. So we know then that the field is very dependent on you and I, on how we receive the word of God, well, how we accept it. We can turn it over by believing the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. We said, if you eat of this fruit, you will get to know things like God. You'll be like God. No, God didn't say I will be like him. He says to me that I am created in his image and likeness. And the first temptation of the devil, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones and make it bread. Well, God's already spoke, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he spoke that when he had not done one thing yet. So our acceptance of who we are in Christ Jesus is based on what God has done and his executive declaration, and nothing to do with what I did. Amen? Hallelujah. So the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest amongst herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. An amazing parable. Let me just summarize it by saying this, that what the Lord is getting at in this particular parable is what we're talking about last Sunday. God using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. This is not about us, it's more about him. And the mustard seed is that which seems to be inconsequential, so small. What is it going to do? No, this little seed is going to become this big tree. That's what it's going to do. This that seems to be like nothing is going to be the big deal. Amen? And that's what God is causing us to focus on. Stop focusing on your own ability. Focus on what I can do. Amen? Then he uses another parable. Very short verse. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. You know, so one little thing over here, and it affects everything. So in essence, God is saying, listen, you are supercharged. Praise God. You're supercharged to make change, global change. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, I hope I'm not going too fast. Let's go to verse 44 now. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The power of discovery, the power of priorities. A buried treasure, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The treasure is hid in a field. And the man found it, and then he hided it. that's an interesting one. You found something that was hidden. Obviously, it was hidden. You found it. And so the man takes it and goes and hides it. But this time, he doesn't just hide it. He goes, sells everything he has to possess that property. Amen? Well, he could have left it where it was and still sold everything and come back and still it's still there. But the idea is, many were looking for it. Other people were looking for it. Other people were looking for it. Now, where he hid it, we don't know, but he hid it somewhere. He hid it somewhere in that field, and most likely, you know, I think that sometimes when in this particular situation, the man may have hidden it exactly where other people have searched before, and it's not there, and he dropped it there and goes and buys the field. Now, that is the issue here is not about that as much as the fact that the Lord was speaking to us about priorities. That this thing, this treasure, is something that you got to give all of your life possession to take a hold of. As you do everything you can to keep this treasure. It's a good, good thing. Do everything you can to keep it. Take a hold of it. Possess it. Then it goes on and in the same vein of this treasure. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Seeking goodly pearls. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, priorities, investment. How important is the word of God and the things of the kingdom of God to us? Is it worth giving up everything so that you can take a hold of it, have possession of it, keep this treasure? And the Lord is saying to us, listen, what I'm giving to you is treasure. Do everything you can within your power to possess it. Then it goes on. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. This is a repetition of the parable of the tares. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, he's telling us something here. Angels are going to be involved in the end time harvest. So what does that tell me? I need to be praying and asking for angelic assistance. He said to us, the Lord of the harvest, ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. And generally we think it is just people. But God is saying, no, no, don't just ask for people. This work is too much for you. You need angelic assistance. Amen? And today, before we leave, we're going to pray that one prayer about angelic assistance being granted to us. Then finally, let's go to the next one. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yeah, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now, what on earth? Now, did he just say to us? Jesus says to them, have you understood all these things? They said unto him, yeah, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe, who is a scribe? A scribe is one who is writing down the word of God, putting down the instructions. A scribe today may be that one who is writing a book. Amen? Which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. That is key. Instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. This is a man who is pointing you towards what God's word is declaring that causes you to rule and reign in Christ, not subjugated to natural stuff that causes you to live in defeat, whether that defeat is obvious or pretentious, but rather a victory that's established based on the word of God, because you focus, you are awake, you see what's happening, and you know what's happening, you know where your strengths and your weaknesses are, and you focus on what God is saying. He says this, the kingdom is like unto a man that is an householder. So this person is somebody who's taking a position of authority, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. What is the point? The point is that as we go deeper into the things of God in the last days, that there'll be deeper revelations based on the treasure being that which God has invested in us. In essence, then, we are going to know who we are in Christ and what God has authorized us to do. So, true effectiveness in the kingdom in this end of days is the reality of men and women coming to find out who God truly intended them to be. This is not a place of weakness. This is a place of supernatural strength. You see, you're building on the old and you're bringing new. You're making applications. You're pulling things together like we're trying to accomplish through the teaching of the word in this household of faith. Amen? Now, he wraps up. And this is a good place to go. He says, and it came to pass, verse 53, that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. And said, whence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Now, this word here for the word astonished is a word that literally means that they were upset. It's not like, wow. No, they are upset. They are angry. How dare you know what you're talking about here? Who are you? What Bible school did you go to? Do you know the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic? How did you come up with this revelation? How dare you? That's the idea. They're upset with him. Whence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? And basically what the Lord has been saying, mustard seed, leaven, wheat. Is not his mother Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then had this man all these things? And they were what? Offended. They were offended in him. They were upset with him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. That's powerful. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. He's not saying that a prophet doesn't have honor. He says he has honor everywhere else, but in his own country. And in his own house. I don't care how many lame people walk today and how many deaf people heard today and the 1,000 people that got saved. Take that garbage out. That's what you get. Hey, man, I just came. Look at me. Everybody bow down and worship me. Take the garbage out. Do the dishes. That's it. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to bring you down to normal. Well, so basically the Lord wraps up this particular passage by saying to us, listen, okay, you're going to have revelation, you're going to have assistance, you're going to have all of this, but understand something. When you get home, when you get to your country or to your town, everybody knows you and they're going to cut you to size. Understand. It doesn't matter what anybody else is saying over there. When you get home, this is what's going to happen. And what is the result of that? The result of that is this next statement. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He did not mighty works there because of their unbelief. And that's a remarkable statement. That's a powerful, powerful, powerful statement that we need to be cognizant of. He preached, and here, whatever it is that he was saying, they did not receive. He couldn't do many mighty works in there because of how they handled him. And that is the absolute truth when it comes to ministering the word of God. There are those that are going to celebrate you, and there are those that are not going to celebrate you. And the Lord is very, very clear in this particular passage that the chances are you are not going to be celebrated where your base is. But just do what you need to do. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, he says, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. He wanted to do mighty miracles there, but he could not. He could not. Not because he didn't want to. He could not. And he couldn't because of their unbelief. Their unbelief was how they had sized them. We know you. We know your mother. We know your brothers and your sister. We know your town. We know your village. What are you going to do? And that was their loss. Point therefore is this. Don't ever become familiar with the anointing. Because that becomes your undoing. You will not get the results that are possible. And don't blame anybody for that. It's how you receive that man or that woman of God. And what was the point? This little, what can this little do? How's the point? We know what your history is. Are you going to change the world? Are you going to change our society? Yeah. Do whatever it is that you're doing over there. Do it here. And he couldn't. And the lesson to every one of us is this. Don't become familiar with the anointing. Well, we know sister so-and-so. We know brother so-and-so. How can God or anyone use this person? It's not so. It is God. God can use anybody to do whatever he wants to do. And so we must not belittle anyone and think they don't qualify to be used of God. God makes that decision. How he makes that decision, I don't know. But I do know that the more unqualified the world thinks you are, the more qualified God thinks you are. Because ultimately, whatever then gets to happen, you cannot take credit for. And humility states that this is the doing of the Lord and it's marvelous. Any man or woman that is making their boast based on whatever it is they think they have studied, making their boast on how long they fasted or prayed, how wonderful and powerful their preaching was, I tell you what, they're fooling themselves. I remember many years ago when we first moved in here, I may not have said this before, maybe this might be the second time I've said it to the hearing of any other person. It's way at the entrance there, some guy came looking at the church and, you know, very early, maybe within a month of the time we moved in here, person looked at me and said, how long do you think it's going to take you to fill this place? I said, 3-6 months. 3 to 6 months. Based on what I knew was possible with the grace and ability that I knew I had and how my mind works and all kinds, 3 to 6 months. No problem. Yes. Right. come to the conclusion. After a few months after that, I came to the conclusion, no, 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 you got this wrong. This is going to take God to do whatever it is. You need assistance. And so that's how we're going to close today. I'm amazed that we finished chapter 13. When I looked at it, I said, Lord, I don't think we're going to finish. But somehow we got it done. Hallelujah. God is good. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we've studied today, we've come to the clear understanding that there is a treasure that needs to be received. We've come to the clarity of understanding that it's the little mustard seed, it's the little leaven that changes everything, that which seems to be inconsequential can be used by your mighty power to accomplish something extraordinary. We've come to the conclusion and understanding that, Lord, that we need angelic assistance. And so, Lord, oh God, we ask, oh God, for your assistance now. We ask, oh God, for angelic assistance for the harvest. Lord, oh God, that somehow you will send help to gather all kinds of people. Gather people from every nook and corner, from every race, from every creed, from wherever they are, that each man and each woman will have an opportunity to hear the everlasting word of the Most High God and be transformed thereby. We ask for your help now, Father. And we ask, oh God, that you will help us prioritize things in the proper order. That the willingness to sell everything, to give up everything, to get that which is the true treasure will be embedded deep within us. And that, Lord, oh God, that will be that which drives us. But greater yet, we ask, oh God, that you will help us be a people that do not sleep or slumber, just like our Father, and therefore give no opportunity for the wicked one to sow his tares amongst the wheat. Let this kingdom of heaven truly represent the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of this world. Make us a people totally fashioned after your image and likeness, living the kind of life that exemplifies the life of men and women that represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever. We receive your grace, we receive your love, we receive your guidance, and receive, O God, the instruction as scribes who write and bring the new and the old together so that people move from glory to glory to glory in their dimensional growth in who you are. This, Lord, we ask in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.